This is Radio Superior 1959, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from the 1950s. This is a true story of our past. So step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
I'll turn around, baby. Let's go once more.
Hello, you guys, dolls, cats, and kittens. It's your old fuddy-duddy buddy on a bearskin rug, Tim Michaels, here to rock your world on a radioactive Thursday, July 23rd, 1959. Denny Anderson has the 6 o'clock news. Lou Martin and the Colonel are in to remember the late Admiral William Leahy. Cool Cal has the sports, and we've got some summer things to do.
Submarine races again?
Cats and kittens think more about just necking and petting.
Like what?
Well, like dates and hops with dates and bonfires with dates and movies with dates. You know, other stuff.
I stand corrected.
Poplar Hardware is in the middle of Denny's news. They have a three-piece bathroom set, including lavatory and cast iron tub, just $89.95. Poplar Hardware in Poplar. Just dial 203. It's all yours, D.A.
Soviet-U.S. talks hold slim hope and success. Steel talks and 9-day-old strike also slim. And Admiral Leahy's long career is remembered. We begin our report from Switzerland.
This is Stan Turner in Geneva. U.S. Secretary of State Christian Herter told Soviet Foreign Minister Andrei Gromyko today there is little hope for success of the Big Four conference unless he abandons key demands for a stopgap agreement on Berlin. Herter attacked Soviet proposals which he says would reserve the Soviet threat against West Berlin as a weapon against the West. It would also turn over negotiations on German unification to an East-West German committee. In the meeting at the Palace of Nations, Western leaders are reported to feel their pessimism confirmed by statements made by Soviet Premier Nikita Khrushchev. Khrushchev warned in a statement issued in Warsaw last night that unless the Western powers accept Soviet requirements for a Berlin truce, Russia will back up communist East Germany in taking whatever action it considers necessary to, quote, liquidate the abnormal situation in West Berlin, unquote. On returning to Moscow today, the Soviet premier declared his country would continue to undertake all efforts to end the occupation regime in Berlin. In Geneva, this is Stan Turner.
This is Norman Walker in New York. Federal mediators have arranged the first joint talks in the 9-day-old steel strike for next Monday. But Federal Mediation Service Director Joseph Finnegan says he sees no early solution to the strike, which has idled more than 500,000 steel workers. Meanwhile, the three top aluminum companies, Alcoa, Reynolds, and Kaiser, rejected the United Steelworkers' wage demands and lined up with the steel industry stand. The steelworkers' contract with the aluminum companies expires July 31st. The aluminum companies followed the proposal by the steel producers by urging the union to accept a one-year wage freeze and give up the cost-of-living escalator in the old wage agreements. Finnegan will meet today with Secretary of Labor James Mitchell in Washington. Mitchell is acting as a fact-finder for President Eisenhower, who could halt the strike, at least temporarily, through emergency provisions of the Taft-Hartley Law. Can the steel industry stop wage price inflation in America? U.S. Steel Corporation Board President Roger Blau, the industry's top leader, is dubious, but he says it's sure worth a real attempt. In an exclusive interview with the Associated Press, Blau says, quote, "You never know until you try. We think some good will come of it," unquote. Blau relaxed easily as he discussed issues in the 9-day steel strike at his corporation's plush skyscraper offices in New York's financial district. The stalemate that led to the strike is rooted in the industry's position that it won't give up any new wage and benefit increase to members of the United Steelworkers unless there are offsetting labor cost savings. In New York, this is Norman Walker.
This is Jack Bell in Washington. A state funeral with leaders from around the world attending is set tomorrow for the late Admiral William Leahy. The Admiral died on Monday. He was born in landlocked Hampton, Iowa, but spent much of his youth in Ashland, Wisconsin, when his father was transferred there as an Indian agent. After graduating from high school in Ashland in 1893, he went to the Naval Academy in Annapolis. Admiral Leahy's first naval battle was as a midshipman on the USS Oregon, which made a famous dash around the Horn to fight in the Battle of Santiago in 1898 during the Spanish-American War. He saw action in the Philippine insurrection and the Boxer Uprising in China. His first command was in 1915 of the gunboat USS Dolphin, where he developed a close relationship with then-Assistant Secretary of the Navy Franklin Roosevelt. By 1936, he was a commander of the Chief Naval Battle Force on board the USS California, then retired in August of 1939. But FDR called him back into service, eventually appointing him to Ambassador of France until May 1942. That's when the president called him back to duty again as Roosevelt's Chief of the Army and Navy. In 1944, he became Fleet Admiral until 1949 under President Truman. He retired in 1949 but continued to advise the president. He opposed the use of the atomic bomb on Japan. Quoting him, "The use of this barbarous weapon at Hiroshima and Nagasaki was of no material assistance in our war against Japan. The Japanese were already defeated and ready to surrender because of the effective sea blockade and the bombing with conventional weapons," end quote. In Washington, this is Jack Bell.
Dr. Albert Schweitzer is a happy man as he received $400,000 worth of medicine presented him by 13-year-old Bobby Hill of Lambarine, French Equatorial Africa. Bobby is the son of Sergeant Henry Hill of Waycross, Georgia. Last month, the boy wrote to his dad's commanding officer at Allied Air Forces, Southern Europe, asking to send a package of medicine to Dr. Schweitzer if he could get help delivering it. The letter led to a campaign in Italy, which raised the money. The boy was flown to Equatorial Africa to Schweitzer's hospital. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:08. Tim Michaels has this message from Poplar Hardware.
We have got some great specials for you from Poplar Hardware this week. Specials of the week include a three-piece bath set. Now, listen to this. This includes 5-foot cast iron tub, closets combination, 19x17 lavatory, all top grade, just $89.95. Other great buys at Poplar Hardware include a power lawnmower, $49.95. Paint, first quality outdoor house paint at $4.95. Those are just some of the many, many buys that you can get this week at the special of the week sale going on at Poplar Hardware in beautiful downtown Poplar, Wisconsin. Phone 203. Denny?
A scholarship is being set up for the late Major League Baseball All-Star from Superior, Maury Arnovich. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson reports.
Superior Youth Association President Bill Finn says an athletic scholarship to be named in memory of Maury Arnovich will be established at Superior State College. Finn says he's already received several contributions which would establish a scholarship, quote, in honor of one of the greatest athletes ever to live in Superior, unquote. Nearly 900 people attended funeral services for him yesterday at the Central High School gym. A Major League Baseball player for more than 9 years, Arnovich was buried in the family lot at the Hebrew Cemetery. Floral bouquets were sent by the Philadelphia and Chicago baseball teams, along with telegrams from former major leaguers on many different teams. Funeral services were performed by two cousins of Arnovich, Rabbi Alex Hyatt of Superior and Julius Hyatt of Peoria, Illinois.
Thanks, Mike. Our condolences to the Arnovich family. Cal will have more about his career in sports. A decision on whether the vote of Alderman Lloyd Johnson will be counted on opening tavern Sundays in Superior will be rendered next week, according to Circuit Judge Carl Daly. At the council meeting, City Attorney Harold Witkin ruled that Johnson's vote wouldn't count because he could have financial interests. Johnson holds a pharmacist permit allowing him to sell liquor for medicinal purposes. The alderman's negative vote was disallowed at a recent city council meeting. Without Johnson's vote, the taverns will stay open as a result of Mayor Lawrence Higgins' tie-breaking vote. Superior's connection with the new high bridge and the proposed route was also a topic of the city council yesterday. In the Association of Commerce plan, traffic from Superior enters the bridge from Tower by way of 5th Street and Hammond Avenue. Traffic from Duluth that leaves the bridge on 4th Street continues as a one-way street to Tower Avenue. And gentlemen may prefer blondes, but a statuesque brunette from California is in the Miss USA competition today. California's Terry Huntington mixes with 23 international lovelies tonight and tomorrow, vying for the Miss Universe title. And that's the 6 o'clock news. Good night, everybody, and be kind.
Hey, it's not like a newsman to leave out vital stats.
Miss Huntington is a dance major at UCLA and is 22 years old.
I said vital, daddy-o.
She's 5 feet 6.5 inches tall with blue-green eyes.
Come on, man, you know what I mean, the real vital statistics.
36, 23, 34.
Oh! now I can dream, baby. Danny Anderson, the 36-40-40 newsman. The Magic Weather Ball for this Thursday, July 23rd, 1959. Dreamy like Miss USA. Perfect for submarine races on the point. Stars out tonight and just cool enough to cuddle at 58 with sunshine tomorrow and a high of 83. Now, from the cream of the crop, from the top of the pots, from the stack at the back of the wax, the Edsels and Ramalama Ding Dong on KUWS.
Ramalama, Ramalama, Lama Ding Dong, Ramalama, Ramalama, Lama Ding.
Off the walls every time I hear this wax. New on the 1959 charts, the Edsels with Ramalama Ding Dong on Kickin' KUWS. In an effort to be cool with the Coast Guard and public safety, and so we're not crucified by the fuzz, we're doing our fun things to do this summer. Man, that's a lot of words strung together. The DA has this feature.
We have Douglas County Boating Safety Liaison, Colonel Joseph P. Raffoli, with us.
Yeah. All right, I know you're wondering why I'm not Douglas County Civil Defense Division 2 Assistant Director Horn Division guy. Well, I didn't get fired.
We can only assume.
The colonel, I wear many hats, okay? I'm a horse of several colors, jack of all trades kind of thing. And I'm helping the Coast Guard Auxiliary.
You've got the floor.
Or the poop deck, as it were.
I've got what? Oh, a feeble attempt at humor. I get it. Okay. All right, people, listen up. Sailboats are figured to be the last stronghold of the wood hulls. The latest in boating designs and models run 8 fiberglass crafts for every 10 boats. Fact is, wood hulls are no picnic. The weather's a big reason when it comes to wooden hulls. You have to take them out of the water early, make certain that they're dried out before freezing weather sets in and spring repairs hold back early launchings.
So the best idea is to do most of the repair work in the fall.
But no one seems to do that. It's as plain as the nose on your face, people. There's no free ride with wood boats. No boat maintenance is free if you want to keep it looking new. And these pleasure boaters can be a real pain. I was talking to the Coast Guard Commandant, Admiral James Hirschfeld. He used to worry about German subs, but now he's worried about a different kind of wolf pack. He had to battle the onslaught of slacker boaters who swarmed out to meet and get in the way of the Queen Elizabeth's yacht, Britannia, and then the United States flotilla of 28 warships, which sailed through the Great Lakes to Chicago this month.
I don't know why people make such a fuss over a queen.
Roger that. We kicked out the king in 1776.
But we've made friends with them since then.
Duly noted. Anywho, wood crafts are more work, but are classier. And the colonel is nothing if he's not classy.
Coast Guard Auxiliary Liaison Joe Raffoli.
That was not interesting. So we're going to play some folk music. Here's the Kingston Trio and Tom Dooley on the Tim Michaels Murder and Execution Show.
Throughout history, there have been many songs written about the Eternal Triangle. This next one tells the story of a Mr. Grayson, a beautiful woman, and a condemned man named Tom Dooley. When the sun rises tomorrow, Tom Dooley must hang. Hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Hang down your head and cry. Hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Poor boy, you're bound to die. I met her on the mountain. There I took her life. Met her on the mountain, stabbed her with my knife. Hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Hang down your head and cry. Hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Poor boy, you're bound to die. This time tomorrow, reckon where I'll be. Hadn't it been for Grayson, I'd have been in Tennessee.
Oh, well, now, boy,
hang down your head,
Dooley. Hang down your head and cry.
Oh, well,
hang down your head,
Dooley.
Oh, boy, you're bound to die.
Oh, well, now, boy,
hang down your head,
Dooley.
Hang down your head and cry.
This time tomorrow, reckon where I'll be. Down in some lonesome valley, hanging from a white oak tree.
Hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Hang down your head and cry. Hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Poor boy, you're bound to die.
Oh, well, now, boy,
hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Hang down your head and cry.
Oh, well,
hang down your head, Tom Dooley. Poor boy, you're bound to die. Poor boy, you're bound to die. Poor boy, you're bound to die.
Poor boy, you're bound to die.
New on the 1959 charts, the Kingston Trio and Tom Dooley. No one ever accused folk music of being cheery.
Definite message there, though, Tim.
Yeah, don't get caught.
Not exactly, Tim. Let's face off, fans. Vince Lombardi, who took over head coach and general manager duties in January, carries his campaign to the field today with the opening of the 1959 training camp. 38 rookies are due to arrive at the National Football League's Spartan headquarters on the St. Norbert College campus. Lombardi, who left the New York Giants to lead the downtrodden Bays, also summoned 30 other veterans to report Saturday, with the only face missing, that of linebacker Ray Nitschke, who will be discharged from military service September the 18th. 11 members of the squad that won one game and tied one and lost 10 last season weren't invited back. The Milwaukee Braves are smiling again, and so are their loyal fans. A 7-game losing streak is at an end. The Braves got on the winning path last night by edging the Cincinnati Reds 5-4 on Bobby Avila's 2-run ninth-inning homer before a crowd of 19,000 at County Stadium. The victory moves the Braves into third place, but they remain 3.5 games behind league-leading San Francisco. The Milwaukee bench cleared as players leapt to their feet to greet Avila as if he had just won a World Series game for them. The 32-year-old Avila, purchased from the Red Sox the day before, became the Braves' second baseman of the season. And here's an historic footnote that involves our new hero. When the Bo Sox sold Avila to the Braves, they called up shortstop Pumpsy Green from the Minneapolis Millers. Normally, it is not news when a new call-up pinch runs, but in this case, it is. You see, Pumpsy Green is a Negro. On Tuesday, he became the first black man to play for the Red Sox, which makes the Beans the last Major League team to integrate, 12 years after Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier in 1947. And fans, tonight we say farewell to Maury Arnavich. He began his pro career in 1933 with the Superior Blues. After tearing up the Northern League with a .374 batting average, the Phillies bought his contract in 1935. He got a cup of coffee with the Phils in 1937, then established himself as a solid hitting outfielder in 1938, hitting .290, then .324 in 1939. He was an all-star that year, and in 1940 played in the World Series for the Cincinnati Reds. He was a veteran of the Second World War, returning to Superior after the war. In baseball, he was dubbed Son of Israel and lived a kosher life. He coached at Cathedral and ran Marcus Jewelers and Sporting Goods. He died of a heart attack on his third wedding anniversary. Maury Arnavich was just 48 years old. There's a benefit exhibition baseball game between the Phillies of the Superior Babe Ruth League and their fathers tonight at 6:30 at Superior Municipal Stadium. A collection will be taken with proceeds to a memorial fund in his memory. Rest in peace, Maury. This is cool, Cal Sabatini, hoping all your face-offs are friendly.
Just 48. Boy, makes you wonder.
Yep. We can just live a good life like he did.
So, we'll spin a blue twin spin. Here's the Fleetwoods and I, Mr. Blue, on the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
Our guardian star lost all his glow the day that I lost you. He lost all his glitter the day you said no, and his silver turned to blue. Like him, I am doubtful that your love is true. But if you decide to call on me, ask for Mr. Blue. When you say you love me, then prove it by going out on the sly, proving your love isn't true. Call me Mr. Blue, I'm Mr. Blue. When you say you're sorry, then turn around, heading for the lights of town, hurting me through and through. Call me Mr. Blue. I stay at home at night, right by the phone at night,
right by the phone.
While you paint the town a bright red to turn it upside down, I'm painting it too, but I'm painting it blue. Call me Mr. Blue.
From Mr. Blue, we go to Lavender Blue and Sammy Turner in the middle of a KUWS twin spin.
A queen, whoa, jelly dress of black, binder blue, jelly, jelly, lavender green.
Sammy Turner and Lavender Blue on Dilly Dilly Radio.
It is an honor. I got caught up in the music. It is an honor to introduce WDSM television newsman Lou Martin.
Thanks, Denny. The honor is mine.
So, you're here to tell us about covering Admiral Leahy.
One time in particular.
Well, meanwhile, the colonel here is also here to remember his colleague, Admiral Leahy.
You met the admiral, too?
Same place McMartin met him. Redcliffe, 1954.
It was a celebration of the 100th anniversary of the Treaty of 1854. The treaty guaranteed tribes their reservation land and prevented war.
Wow, and you were there in 1854 and 1954? That's crazy.
Yeah. It was a big feed, had a tug of war. McKenna, he ended up sitting on his brains again. Well, it wasn't a proud moment for us.
Admiral Leahy was very interested in Indian affairs. His dad was an Indian agent, which brought him to Ashland.
He was a great man, a great man. Destiny plays a hand for those who call us to greatness. He was a naval operations chief under two presidents, Roosevelt and Truman, and it wasn't Leahy's fault that they were Democrats.
In civilian dress, Admiral Leahy looked like an average American businessman. He was of quiet demeanor, not given to dramatics. That's the way he looked when he visited Ashland in 1938 to become an honorary member of the Odena Bad River Chippewa Tribe at the Wisconsin Legion Convention.
Yeah, Admiral Leahy was inducted into the Ojibwees as Big Chief of the Big Sea Waters in 1938. There was a Chippewa word for it, but, well, heck if I can say it.
You said Ojibwe, man. That's cool.
In the centennial pageant, he played the part of one of the U.S. commissioners who negotiated the treaty. He later donned a full Indian headdress for the ceremony.
Rest in peace, Fleet Admiral William Leahy. You served your country well.
The daddy-o was 18 karat all the way, and he grew up in Ashland. Next, the ultimate way to spend a summer day, right after Frankie Avalon and his new hits, Venus, on the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
Kisses in my arms, a girl with all the charms of you. Venus, make her fair. I love the girl with sunlight in her hair. And take the brightest stars up in the sky and place them in her eyes for me. As long as we both shall live. Give her all the love I have to give, as long as we don't.
A smoking tune right there. That's Venus, number one for 5 weeks on the charts. 18-year-old teen heartthrob Frankie Avalon on Kickin' KUWS. Now our own heartthrob with a cool way to spend a warm summer night. Commence to wax poetic, Denny.
High summer is nature in his most lavish mood. The riches of sight and sound, of smell, bear in upon you so strongly they seem to seep into your bones. The warm, clear sun blazes down on the open fields and patches of lawn, or filters through a bright canopy of spreading trees. The fragrance of green and flowering things is a daily gift to the sharpened senses. There can be no monotony in the intricate melodies of the birds. Summer seems a time of gaiety and laughter and light-hearted fun. It is the season when children romp until they drop in their tracks, and oldsters' muscles thaw out in the friendly warmth. This is the full tide of life, with every sense constantly stirred. This is the moment when we soak up nature, when we experience its wonder and beauty as completely as we ever can in the long round of our days.
Moving, baby, moving.
Even Daddy-O's can be on cloud nine about summertime.
Cloud nine, you're even talking to Hep Talk. Time to eyeball the best ways to spend a summer night. Make the scene cool, Cal.
Wade Stadium, Wade Bowl. Wherever there's baseball and a green diamond, that's the place to be on a summer night.
A nice dinner and a highball at the Old Oak Bar in Gordon.
Sitting on the patio at the VFW. With a cold beer. Remembering Paris and WW1. I kind of get choked up just thinking about it.
The Muni and hot dogs with kids playing a Babe Ruth League game.
Wisconsin Point Beach, a bonfire, and the submarine races.
Twin Ports cabins up the North Shore and grilling burgers.
Crest from Supper Club and a highball.
The Legion picnic. Ham salad sandwiches, potato salad, iced tea, deviled eggs. Swapping lies with the guys about WW1.
The Timber Lodge at Gorton Lake in Ashland County and grilling.
Smitty's Supper Club with cocktails in Solon Springs. The Dreamland Supper Club when the Ralph Williams Band was playing.
Oh, Dreamland has the best relish tray anywhere.
It's great, but not as great as the Highland Supper Club in Duluth.
Well, you cats really dig the food thing. For the big tea, it's driving flicks and backseat bingo.
Sounds like you dig necking.
I got a rep to protect, you know, Daddy-O. Hey, time to cut out, cats and kittens. We're going to be back same time, same dog pound, the good Lord willing, and we come down from this seventh heaven. For Danny Anderson, Lou Martin, the Colonel, and Cool Cal, this is Tim Michaels, rockin' your world.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1959, an original production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Performances for tonight's show are by Tom Martinson, John Munson, and Pat Kelly. All events reported on Radio Superior 1959 are actual accounts from the Superior Evening Telegram and Duluth Herald. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.
You've got the floor.
Or the poop deck, as it were.
I've got what? Oh, a feeble attempt at humor. I get it. Okay. However, that line was not a feeble attempt at humor. That nailed it. One hammer, one nail, one swing, done. And my thumb is still the same size as it was when I started.
Anything else?
No, I think that's about it. Then it's your line.
Poop on the deck, what was that?
Okay.